Thanks for tuning in to the Next Level Church podcast. For more information, check out our website at nextlevelchurch.net.
Good morning.
Morning.
If I haven't had a chance to meet you yet, my name is Rob. I'm one of the pastors here, and I'm very excited for you to be here today. Today, we're continuing our series entitled Masquerade, and if this is your first time or if you've missed the last couple weeks, I want to catch you up to speed. The idea behind this series is underneath your mask is a wound that comes from a part of yourself being rejected either by yourself or by others. I believe that all of us in some environments, we wear masks. And what we've discovered in this series is that the mask has come from a wound. But that wound isn't just something that someone else did to us. Oftentimes it's a wound that we have ourselves. It's a self-inflicted wound. And whenever there is any amount of shame in your life, the response is to put up a mask to hide from other people and to hide from God and to pretend to be something that we're not. If you came in today, you were handed a mask, and that is an important part of today's talk. And so if you didn't get a mask for some reason, if they didn't get to see you or you walked past them and didn't get one, if you would just slip your hand up, our ushers are going to bring you a mask if you didn't get, I think, did our ushers leave? I don't see our ushers. Oh, there they are. Okay, I think if you had just slip your hand up, if you need a mask, our ushers will grab a mask. If we could grab, I think we got one right here. Oh, we've got, people are like, I took 10 masks. How do you have so many masks? Like, make it rain masks. I got all sorts of masks. I think we're covered. I think they got, someone gave them a mask. Anyone else need a mask? Anyone? Just raise your hand. Okay, awesome. Here's what I want you to do. And do not do anything until we finish the complete instructions, okay? Some of you are just going to dive into work mode, and you're going to mess up your mask, okay? So listen, and then complete the exercise. On the front of your mask, I want you to complete the following statement 5 times. Based on how I see myself, I am. Now, specifically what you're going to do is you're only going to fill in the blank. You're not going to write the whole statement. You're just going to fill in the blank based off how you see yourself. Now, still don't write, okay? Not yet, because I want to give some parameters here, okay? On this answer, you should write honestly and truthfully, okay? Don't worry about what your neighbor's writing. Like, don't peek over and say, what are you writing? Don't copy their answer. I want you to be authentic and real. This is how you view yourself. And so some of your answers should be positive. Don't focus just all on the negative. But I want you to be so honest that some of your answers may not be pretty, that you can say some of the things that you don't love about yourself, all right? You're going to fill in this thing. And there's one more disclaimer before you start writing. I know that we were in church, and because we're in church, there's a tendency for some of you to be super spiritual. And you're going to want to write on there, I am a prince of the almighty Shekinah glory of God, Jehovah Jireh. And you're going to write this whole long thing, and it's going to sound amazing and spiritual. Let's just be real, though, with one another, okay? If that is your answer, that's great, but don't feel like you have to over-spiritualize this. I want to know the you, and we're not going to look at him, we're not going to share him, but I want you to be real with yourself. So now you're going to answer this question 5 times, write 5 different answers, okay, not the same one, 5 different answers, based on how I see myself, I am, fill in the blank, 5 different times. And we're going to have a little mood music as you guys write. Can I get some music out there? It's coming, I think. And this is quick, it's going to go by quick, so you've got to think of your answers quickly. This isn't a 30-minute process. About another 30 seconds. Thank you. All right, time is up. If you didn't get to all five, you can come back. You get to keep this mask. You're not going to turn it in, so you can come back and answer it later. Some of you didn't look down a single second during that exercise. So I don't know if that's because you were just deep in thought or if you were like, no, I refuse to answer this question. And if that was you, if you said, I refuse to answer this question, I got one for you. Put stubborn, okay? I want you to put stubborn right in the center of your mask. That's how some of you are. All right, so here's the deal. That question, though, is kind of difficult. Like, maybe it was easy to come up with a couple, but it's a difficult exercise. And the reason that it is difficult is because who you are changes. It is constantly on a scale, and it changes based off your environment, based around who you are with, and based off what's going on to you. The way that you view yourself is constantly in flux. I did some research this week. I was reading. It was incredibly fascinating, at least to me. It might bore you to tears, but Dr. Summers is a guy who has done a lot of research on who we are and how to figure out who we are. And I was reading this quote. I found it so fascinating. He said, much of the information that introspection generates is fleeting. On-the-fly construction at a particular point in time, how we think we feel, why we guess we've made the choices we have. By looking inward, we don't gain access to a stable set of impressions regarding an unwavering, authentic self. We produce a temporary status report. And what his research has found is that based off how you are feeling right now, you view yourself a certain way. So if this was an amazing week, if you're feeling great about yourself, you answered the front of your mask one way. But if this was a tough week on you, you answered your mask another way. Our opinion is constantly fleeting of how we see ourselves. And he based some of his research off of a study from the Journal of Anthroplasty. I don't have a fat clue what that is. It just sounds smart. Anyone read the Journal of Anthroplasty? Okay. You know, the last magazine I subscribed to was Entertainment Weekly. That doesn't sound smart. This guy's on a whole nother level of smart. But this is what he found. In the Journal of Anthroplasty, they asked a handful of patients who were going in to get hip replacement surgery why they were getting the surgery. And they had them all record their answers, and they collected their answers. And then a year later, they sent out the exact same question to the exact same people who had the surgery done. And what they found is that 100% of the answers changed a year later. That the reason they got the surgery was different a year later from when they got it. And specifically what they found is those that were not happy with the results of their hip replacement surgery changed their answers the most drastically. And what he pulled from this research is that your answers to how you see yourself changes based off the circumstances that you're in. There is a great chance that if you had a great week, you may have put a lot of positive things on your list. Or maybe even this, the fact that you're in church, it may have influenced the answers that you put on your mask. There are certain things, our environments, our emotions, the things that we're doing, the way that we accomplish things influences the way that we answer our mask. But there's something else that influences us. We are also influenced by the people that we are around. A pretty famous author by the name of Jim Rohn, he said a quote that he is known for, you are the average of the five people you spend the most time with. You are the average of the five people you spend the most time with. So here's what this means. Part of your mask is the way that you see yourself, and that's a constantly shifting scale, that it changes based off your environment, based off your emotions, based off your performance. But there's another way that you see yourself, and the other way that you see yourself is based off the five people you are closest to. Now, this doesn't mean friends. This could be that if you listen to podcasts all the time or you watch a certain news channel, this could be the certain people that influence you the most. You become like them. You start to talk and think and react like a group of people that you relate to the most. The five people that you relate to the most, that you're closest to, you start to become like them. And I don't know if you can relate to this or not, but when I was a sophomore in high school, my class got a new student. He was from Scotland. And I hung out with him a lot when he first came to the States. And I found that the more I hung out with him, the more I started to talk like him. My whole life, I've always called a garage a garage. You know the thing where no one in Virginia parks their car, but you should? That thing, the garage? That's how I call it, garage. I hung out with him. I started saying, garage. And people would look at me like I was psycho, like, what is a garage? What do you mean, what is a garage? It's just what you call it. And I found myself raising my inflection, like as I was talking, because for some reason, I can't do a Scottish accent, but when he would talk, he would say things like, I know. And so someone would ask me like, hey, you know, this is what we're having for dinner. And I would say, I know. And people were like, what is wrong with you? Like, what is happening? What? This is one reason why I don't listen to a lot of other pastors. I love going to conferences. I love being filled up and spiritually challenged by other pastors. But on a regular basis, I don't listen to podcasts and I don't watch other pastors' sermons. And it's not because I'm tempted to steal their material. It's because I'm tempted to steal their voice. If I listen to a pastor long enough, I start speaking like them. And literally, there was a time when I listened to a guy named Judah Smith a ton, and I found myself preaching, and my inflection was like him. And my wife, one time after the sermon, she said, something weird was going on with your voice. I don't know. And I was like, I have no idea what you're talking about. I knew exactly what she was talking about. I'd been listening to a ton of Judah Smith, and it was influencing my voice. We become the people that we are like. And so here's what I want you to do on your mask. On the front of your mask, complete the following statement 5 times. Based on how others see me, I am. Okay? Based on how others see me, I am. And I want you to fill in the blank. So same thing as before. You don't have to write the whole statement. I just want you to fill in the blank. This now is based off how you think other people see you, the influences of other people in your life. You are. Fill in the blank. We're going to have just a couple minutes. We're going to play some music, some theme music to get you guys thinking. About 30 more seconds. All right, if you didn't get to all the answers, you can come back to that one, and you can answer it later on your own. Here's, though, according to the research that I've done, this is what I've found, that so often our masks change because we feel the need to perform for our audience. And I think that we all wear a mask, and the mask comes from a wound, but the problem with our masks is that it's completely changing. It's constantly shifting. Based off who we are around, we feel like we have to have a different persona around us. We feel like we have to act a certain way. And I don't know about you, but it is exhausting pretending to be someone that I'm not. It is exhausting trying to walk in and figure out, how are they going to accept me? What do I need to do to get this group to accept me? And then this group is a totally different group. So how do I change to get them to accept me? And then this is a totally different group. How do I get them to? It's exhausting, and it's constantly changing. Because people's perception of you is constantly changing. And some people will hold you into, they'll think that you are, this is just who you are. And then if you mess up, they change their perception. And they leave you and they say all sorts of mean things about you. And they walk out the door and they just say you're the worst person ever. But they used to love you. They used to be your best friend. Their perception's changing based off your performance. So what this has done to us is it's caused us to feel like we have to pretend that we can't let other people know who we really are, because if we let someone know who we really are, they may not like us. Last week on YouVersion, I asked the question, what do you think others would say if they saw the real you? And the answers were anonymous, and there was a lot of answers in there, but I pulled some of them because I thought it was very telling. The question again is, what do you think others would say if they saw the real you? Some of you wrote, the good, he's got a good heart. He truly cares. The bad, that's messed up. Seriously? And the ugly, I would have never guessed he would be capable of doing something like that. Another answer said, I think they would be surprised to see how insecure I really am. Another one said, a nice jerk, .. This one made me laugh out loud. It said, they would say your butt looks fat in those jeans. I thought that was pretty funny. This one was pretty telling, and it was an answer that came up over and over again. Wow, she's pretty jacked up. I thought she was all put together. We are people in the church, people who are accustomed to wearing masks and are pretending to be something that we're not. And the origin of our masks comes from two places. Number one, how others see me. And number two, how I see myself. How others see me and how I see myself. And the problem with wearing a mask is that you're constantly having to change it based off these two factors. It's like this. If you feel fat currently, go hang out with people that are fatter than you and you'll feel thin. If you feel thin currently, hang out with people who are more fit than you. Automatically, it starts to put doubt in you. I've got to do more work. I'm not good enough. If you feel really pretty, hang out with people you think are prettier than you. All of a sudden, you feel ugly. You feel ugly, hang out with people you think are uglier than you. All of a sudden, you feel pretty. Our status is constantly sliding how we view ourselves and how others view us. And I don't know about you, but that's exhausting. It is exhausting. It would be so nice to be able to just be myself and just say and just accept the fact that, you know what? Some people are not going to like me, and I can be okay with that. But it is so difficult because we all have this sliding scale based off both how we see ourselves and how other people see us. So today what we're going to do is we're going to look at a text that tackles an issue that I think we all need to wrestle with. Because if the way other people see us constantly changes and the way that we see ourselves constantly changes, we need something that is not going to change. We need something to pull out our true self so that we can be authentic with ourselves and with other people. And our text for the day is going to tell us and teach us exactly how to do that. I want to give you a little context of who wrote what we're about to read. It is written by a guy by the name of John, and we don't know a lot about John. What we do know is that John was one of Jesus' best friends. Jesus had 12 guys that were his 12 disciples, and then out of that 12, he pulled three that were in his inner circle. And John and his brother James were in Jesus' inner circle. So this guy was really, really close with Jesus. One of the only things we know about John is the nickname that Jesus gave him and his brother James when he first met him. He called them the Sons of Thunder. I love that. Like, I don't know if they were like a tag team wrestling like champion or a heavy metal band, like the Sons of Thunder. I have no idea why Jesus called them that, but one of the only stories that we have of John, it is one of the few stories of his temperament. They are walking into a town and they see a group of people that they do not like, and him and his brother say, "Hey God," or "Hey Jesus, should we call down fire from heaven and nuke these people?" And Jesus is like, "Huh? What is going on in that brain of yours?" So this is a guy who is a son of thunder. That means most likely he had a temper. Most likely he was pretty judgmental. Most likely he thought he was better than he truly was. But it's crazy when you read his letters that he wrote that we have in the Bible, none of that stuff comes through. And I think it's because in his interactions with Jesus, he was literally changed. The only thing that comes through in his letters that we have copies of is the fact that God loves us. And over again, you can just see that this guy is just pouring out how much God loves us. And it's not about judgment. It's not about wrath. It's not about how many times we mess up or how messed up other people are. Constantly in his letters, he talks about the love of God. And so with that context, let's dive in, because I really think that this text for the day can set us free, can help set us free to find out who we are, who we truly are in God. 1 John 3, we're going to read verse 1. You can follow along on the screen or in YouVersion. John writes, "See what great love the Father has lavished on us, that we should be called children of God. And that is what we are." Over and over again, when the Bible talks about God, it refers to him as a father. And for some of you, that's problematic. Because some of you didn't have a good dad. And so when you hear father, like, it just brings up these awful feelings of like, your dad wasn't there for you, your dad abused you, your dad left, your dad didn't come to your games, your dad prioritized work over a relationship with you. And so for some of us, it is a hard attribute to put on God. That God is a father, it's just like, that doesn't sit well. Others of us here had a great dad, and so you have no problem relating to God the Father. But if you're here and you didn't have a good dad, and you're just like, okay, that just doesn't sit well with me, can I just challenge your thinking for a second? I know it was difficult to not have a good dad, but I honestly believe that you don't have to have something good to imagine what goodness is. You don't have to experience a good something to know that there are other things out there that are good. Just because one person messed it up for you doesn't mean that everyone is messed up. And it's kind of like this. This is a faulty illustration. It's just the best that I could come up with. It would kind of be like you writing off pizza and saying, I hate all pizza. Because at one point in your life, you ate a frozen pizza that was the Walmart brand, and it made you sick to your stomach. And you just said, oh, all pizza is bad because I had one bad experience. And if you said that to me, I'd say, no, you are limiting your life. Pizza is amazing. Like, you eat it, and then you put it in the fridge, and you can eat it again, and it's good cold, and, like, it is an amazing. Don't give up on pizza. I want pizza right now. It's the same thing here. If you struggle with relating to God being good, can I just challenge you to go a little bit deeper? Can you get past, for just a second, your hard feelings against your dad? And can you just imagine that if your dad was good, what would he be like? Because over and over again, when the Bible talks about God, it says that God is good and that God is love. And this is incredibly important to me because I'm not the type of person that never struggles with my faith. There are lots of times where I wrestle with even believing in God. And there are times when I'm reading through the Bible and I see something and I'm like, oh, that makes me just wrestle. I don't understand why that would happen, and it makes no sense to me in 2015. It just doesn't compute, and it's hard to understand. And in any moment when I question who God is, and I'm questioning even if God exists, I come back to the words that describe him over and over again, is that God is good and God is love. And when I don't understand, when I have confusion and when I have doubts, I can hold on to the fact that even in my doubts and even in my struggles and even in my temporary circumstances that feel overwhelming, I can trust that God is good and that God is love. And if you didn't have a good father, you need to hold on to the fact that even though your dad blew it, we have a heavenly father who is not your dad. Your dad, your heavenly father, is good. And the text tells us specifically, it says, see what great love the Father has lavished on us. It is this idea that a father is just pouring over and over on a kid. Have you ever met someone that just like loved their kids almost too much? Like every time they talk about them, they're just so proud. And you're like, I've been around your kids. They're annoying. Like I don't know why you don't see what I see. Like, but they are just so proud of their kids, and like they're showing pictures of like just scribbles, and they're like, this is a masterpiece. And you're just like, no, that is awful. But they are proud of their kid. And that is the image that John is saying, that you have a heavenly father who is so good and so loving. He is lavishing love on you, so much love that he doesn't call you a dirty, rotten sinner. He calls you his kid. And then he makes an exclamation point. Look at what he says. And that is what we are. So who are you? Well, you are lots of things. You're a mom, you're a dad, you're a sister, you're a brother, you're a sibling, you're an employer, you're an employee, you're all sorts of things. You have an anger problem, you are funny, you are not funny. There are all sorts of things that describe who you are. The only constant thing in our lives is how God views us. Because everything else is on a sliding scale. And sometimes you are a dirty, rotten sinner. And sometimes you do drop the ball. And sometimes you hit it out of the park. And the problem is so often, depending on who we are with, they judge us based off our performance. And as long as we're doing good and as long as we're benefiting someone, they love us. But as soon as we don't benefit them, they leave and they go out the door. And so we have this fear inside of us that I can never be the real me. Because as long as I'm this fake me, they'll accept me. But if they ever see me drop my guard, they're going to run. They're going to leave. I believe with all my heart that God doesn't decide your worth based off your effort. He decides your worth based off who he is. God does not decide your worth based off your effort. He's not looking out at you and saying, man, I liked you yesterday. Man, I'm going to like you next year when you improve this. No, God loves you because you're his kid. If you're a Christian today, you are a child of God. And he loves you not because you're good. He loves you because he is good. I don't know if you ever wrestle with other people's opinions. I read this fascinating article that was talking about Hugh Jackman. And if you're not familiar with Hugh Jackman, he's an actor. He was in Les Mis. I'll never get that 3 hours of my life back. And he was also, he's also in the X-Men franchise. He plays Wolverine. And he has recently come out and talked about his faith in God. And so that's why I read the article. But in the article, there was a question that I thought was fascinating and incredibly telling. In the article, they asked Hugh Jackman, outside of money and fame, what does acting give you that you really need? And Hugh Jackman answered the question the following way. He said, that's the best question I've ever been asked. He said, outside of money and fame, what acting has given me is peace. There are things driving me that aren't all healthy, needing approval and respect to fill some hole who knows where in me. Am I worthy? All those fears. Through acting, I'm able to find a level of bliss and peace and calm and joy, and it feels natural. I have no judgment for Hugh Jackman's statement. In fact, I feel like it's something that I could have said myself. It is so telling that he finds this peace through acting like other people, because there's a hole inside of him that says, I need people's approval. And I constantly am doing things to get people's approval. And the problem is that when someone doesn't approve, all of a sudden you feel like you're not worth very much stuff, that you've messed up, that you haven't met their needs, that you've made a mistake. Can I just be open and honest and transparent with you? This isn't a struggle that like is just I'm projecting on you. This is a struggle like literally I have. Like when one of you gets up and leaves in the middle of my talk, I never think that you're going to the bathroom. Never. I always think that I've ticked you off and that you're leaving the church and you're mad and I'm going to get an email. That's what I think every time. And I sit here and I'm preaching, and sometimes I don't even know what's coming out of my mouth because I'm just thinking, I hope they come back. Oh, they came back. Oh, great. And then it dawns on me, you've been talking for about 2 minutes now. What in the heck have you been saying? Like, literally, it messes with me. There's something inside of me that craves approval. This week, I wrote a blog post, and I spent a lot of time on this blog post. And the reason I was able to spend a lot of time on it was because my wife was out of town. And so that night while watching Netflix, I spent 3 hours on a blog post. I never spend that much time writing. But I poured a ton of time into this post. And the next day when it was online, I checked the stats to just see how it was doing. And like no one was reading this post. It had like negative like reads. Like no one was reading this thing. And not only that, no one was commenting on it. Like it was just like nothing. There was no interaction. And I literally was sitting there basing my worth off of the reaction of a blog post. And it didn't matter that the day before got lots of comments and had lots of stats. It just mattered. What mattered right then was people's approval. And I'm sitting there soaking and feeling like, man, nobody likes me. And then all of a sudden, I got a tweet from someone who is considered famous in the Christian circles. He's a famous author and famous speaker. And he tweeted out my blog post. And I tweeted him back, and I said, thank you so much for sharing this. And he tweeted back to me, and he said it was hilarious. And I went from nobody likes me, everybody hates me, I'm just going to eat worms, to I'm the king of the world! Like in 5 seconds, my whole emotional state, my whole energy, my whole view of myself changed because one person that I put value on found worth in something that I've done. I don't think that that's the way that God wants you and I to live. That if you're constantly basing your opinion off what other people say or off on your opinion of yourself and your performance, you're going to constantly go through this wave of emotions of, yay, I'm great, yay, I suck, yay, I'm great, yay, I suck. But God's picture of you that he has is not based off your sliding scale of your performance. It's based on the fact that he is good and he is your father. And when God sees you, he doesn't see a screw-up, he doesn't see a mess-up, he sees his kid, he sees Jesus, he sees the Savior of the world, he sees, because of the blood of Jesus, he sees, when he looks at you, he sees someone that can walk on water, and he sees someone who can heal the blind, and he sees someone who raised the dead. He does not see us based off our efforts, he sees us based off what Jesus did. John goes on, though, to continue. He says in 1 John 3, 2 through 3, he says, dear friends, now we are children of God. And what we will be has not yet been made known. But we know that when Christ appears, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. All who have this hope in him purify themselves just as he is pure. What in the world does that mean? That's a great question. Thank you for asking. John is saying that you and I, even though it's our goal to be like God and try to have our act together and try to follow God and try to obey God and try to be a good person, even though that's our goal, every single one of us in here has flaws and mistakes and selfishness and times where we just royally blow it. And John says that you're going to keep having these imperfections until Jesus comes back. And one day, as a Christian, we have hope that one day Jesus is going to come back. And when Jesus comes back, then he will make us perfect. But until then, we've got some issues in our life. And one of our issues is constantly viewing ourselves through the scale of our performance or the scale of how other people see us. And what we need to do is take ourselves off of that scale and view ourselves through the eyes and the lens of Jesus. And God the Father, who is a good Father, says, hey, listen, when you've blown it, John says, when you've blown it, you've got to purify yourself. Well, what does that mean? Well, in the Old Testament, the older part of the Bible, there was a ritual, literally a ritual that you would go through that would help purify yourself when you messed up. But today, we don't have to sacrifice animals. We don't have to go see a priest to purify ourselves. We can go to God the Father. And here's what this means, that you, because you can trust that God is a good, good Father who loves you, you can trust that you can bring the ugliest mess in your life to Him. And you can bare your soul in front of Him. And you can say, God, this is me. It is ugly. It is messy. God, I am so selfish. It's not just that I sin. It's that sometimes I sin and I love it. I am so messed up. I've got issues. I've got this worth based off what other people say about me and how I view myself. God, I've got some issues and I can bring that to God and I can trust that He's not going to leave me. Everyone else leaves. Everyone else has an opinion that is solely based off your performance, but God does not. God loves you because He's a good Father. It's easy to believe in God when good things happen to us. But the greatest challenge of your faith is believing that God is a good Father, even when you are a disobedient child. It's easy to believe, I'll read it again. It's easy to believe in God when good things happen to us, but the greatest challenge of your faith is believing that God is a good Father, even when you are a disobedient child. Guys, it is easy to believe that God loves you when you go to church, when you give a little money to the church, when you serve. That is easy to believe. What is difficult is to believe that in the midst of your messiest disobedience, God is still good and God still loves you. And when we learn to bring our junk to God, when we can trust that God is good, even when we're not, we can start to form our identity in Him. And when your identity is in God, you are no longer on the scale of trying to win other people's approval, because their approval is constantly changing and it's constantly morphing. And your view of yourself is constantly changing and constantly morphing. And so in the midst of this constant change, you need to do something. You've got to remind yourself how God sees you. The more we find acceptance in God, the more we can accept who we really are. The more we find acceptance in God, the more we can accept who we really are. So this is what I want you to do. I want you to take that mask that you had and that you've written all over on the front, and I want you to take it, and on the back of it, I want you to answer this question. I want you to complete the following statement 5 times. Based on how God sees me, I am, and then fill in the blank. Based off how God sees me, I am, and then fill in the blank. And this is why this is so important, because this week you're going to be a lot of things to a lot of people, and you're going to view yourself based off your performance, and it's going to constantly be shifting. And I want you to not focus on the mask that you put out there for everyone else to see. I want you to look on the inside of the mask, because on the inside of the mask is who you really are. And who are you? You are a child of God, and you cannot shake His love. So answer the question through His lens. Based on how God sees you, you are fill in the blank. As you guys write, Stephen and Brooke are going to come, and they're going to teach us a new song. And it's a song that is all about how good God is and what a good Father He is. So they're going to sing it over us and then invite us to sing. And I just give you a moment just to write out your answers. You can complete your thoughts and write them down. And then we'll invite you to participate and to sing and learn this song with us. I want to pray over us, though, as we're writing. God, I just ask right now that You would help us to care more about what You think about us than what others do. And we ask, God, right now that You would just speak louder than the other voices in our head. God, would You help us to constantly seek Your approval and not the approval of man? God, would You speak deep down inside to our hearts and to our souls? Would You let us know that we really are loved by You? Would You remind us that You are good and that You are love? God, we are in desperate need of You, and so would You just give us You? Would You just give us not just some goosebumps and not just some warm fuzzies? God, would You give us You? Would You give us a desire to please You, a desire to know You? And God, would You change our hearts from the inside out? And would You help us to form our opinion based off who You are and not who we are? We love You, Lord. We thank You for what You're doing and how You're going to do it. In Jesus' name, amen.
We hope you've enjoyed and learned from today's podcast. If you'd like to connect with us further, you can check out our website, nextlevelchurch.net, or find us on Facebook or Twitter.